I want to continue our studies in the book of Galatians this morning. And I want to read beginning with verse 10 of Galatians 1. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation, that is, or my way of life, in the past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen or the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother." Paul's calling in Paul's gospel, it's unique. His calling was to, by the grace of God, and his calling was to reveal his Son, which I think is a significant statement in the fact that he was not recalled necessarily to reveal Jesus, who he preached to the Philippian jailer. But we'll get into that in a little bit as we go along. So his calling was by the grace of God. And I didn't include it in the notes, but it's interesting to note that God separated him from his mother's womb. And the word separated carries the thought of being torn or aborted. In other words, an early birth from his mother's womb. Which may imply, and this is just speculation, that Paul is a type of those that will be sealed in the tribulation period to preach Paul's gospel, because that's what they'll be preaching during the tribulation period. So the 144,000 will be like the Apostle Paul. They will have zeal, and their ministry will be effective wherever they may be in the world. But anyway, he was called. We find and we see his calling in Acts chapter 9. It says, "As he journeyed to Damascus," he was on his way to Damascus to imprison or to capture Christians. It says, "He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So we find the Lord accosting or arresting Paul on the road to Damascus. Here was a man who was zealous in the Jewish religion. And if you were going to be saved, it was through the nation or the message of the nation of Israel that you would be saved in Paul's day. I was witnessing on the streets in Chattanooga many years ago, in the late 50s, And I was trying to help a man come to know the Lord as his Savior. And the man told me, he says, if I can experience what Paul experienced, I'll be saved. If I can see a light, on a bright light shining, I'll be saved. And a lot of people think that Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. But I believe Paul was saved as a boy. He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Paul worshipped Him. He was misled. He was deceived. In fact, blindness in part had happened to Paul like many Jews of his day. So, what did the Lord tell him? He says, you go into the city and there shall be one that will tell you what you must do. I can just hear the Philippian jailer saying, what must I do to be saved? Now this is not the same question. This is not the same situation for Paul. Paul did not need to be saved. The Philippian jailer did. And we read in verse 15 of Acts chapter 9, where the Lord said unto him, go thy way. This is Ananias, one of the Lord's disciples in the city of Damascus. He says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So when Ananias came to be with Paul, the Lord told him he is a chosen vessel and he will go before Gentiles and kings as well as the nation of Israel. And notice that the children of Israel is last in the list. We will read further when we get further into the book of Galatians that Peter was the apostle to the Jews, where Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. So, I want to pick up again in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11, where Paul says, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it but by revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation means to uncover something. There was something in Paul's life and something in Paul's background that needed to be uncovered. What was that? Well, let's continue our thoughts here. In verse 17 of Acts, it says, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Notice how he addresses Saul. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight. When you unveil something, it's something you can see. I checked in the book of Revelation. I think there's 53 times where John saw something. Because the book of Revelation is a book of unveiling things that were hidden. And so what happened to Paul was his sight was restored. There were scales on his eyes to keep him from seeing. Obviously, it was physical scales because he had to be led into Damascus. But he says, thou mightest receive thy sight, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is associated with the gift of the Holy Ghost, which has to do with the kingdom. And in fact, verse 18 tells us, and immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Now, Ananias didn't have a Bible class. He didn't have anything to tell Paul. But these events in Paul's life had to do with the receiving of his sight, He was filled with the Holy Spirit like Cornelius and his house was, as like the apostles were. He was baptized like Cornelius was in his house. And all of these events are associated with the kingdom message. All you have to do is just read Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, and you see how that the kingdom message was preached to those that were received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized. When Paul was in Philippi in jail, this was not the sequence of events for the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer had to come to know Jesus as his Savior, and he had to believe on Jesus. Now later on, after his experience of trusting the Lord, Paul was allowed to open the Word of God, which are the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, to the Philippian jailer, and he was baptized. So, Paul received his sight. I believe what Paul received was insight into the Scriptures that he had learned as a boy and as a young man. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, and it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself." Here were two men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appears to them. Did they see Him? Did they know Him? No. It doesn't say there were scales on their eyes, but there might as well have been, because they didn't know who He was. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, "Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." That's when the things came together. What Scriptures? The Scriptures that Jesus used to teach His apostles. What were those? Those were the Old Testament Scriptures. They were in the Septuagint. They were probably in the Hebrew. He used both. And He had been teaching them, but it hadn't come together. And the Lord opened the Old Testament Scriptures to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. That, to me, is the same thing that happened to Paul. Paul had the background. Let's continue in Galatians 1:16. It says that he was a servant, a chosen servant, a chosen vessel, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. When you read in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, it says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that He was the Son of God." Now, how long did it take him? Did he get a Bible lesson from Ananias? No, we've already said that. But he straightway preached that Christ was the Son of God. Where did he get that information? He got that out of the same place that the disciples got it, out of the Old Testament. He knew about the Christ. But he didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God. He did not know that Jesus was the Christ. And as soon as he had the experience that he had on the road to Damascus, he knew the Christ that he had studied and learned about in the Old Testament under the feet of Gamaliel was what he had learned about as a boy and as a young adult student of the Old Testament. So Paul straightway, he had a message in the same city that he went to. He knew the message because his understanding of what he had been studying all these years clicked. It just reminds me of what Howard told me a few Sundays ago. He says, "I see it. I got it. It comes together and you see it." Same thing happened to me as well. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 70, during the trial of Christ, "Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am," or "You said it." He affirmed his answer. "Yes, I'm the Son of God." It was the high priest that was asking this question. Did Paul go out to Damascus from the high priest? Yes. Paul was in the loop of the high priest. And I think that he knew that Jesus Christ was guilty of being the Son of God or the King of the Jews. Let's read in Luke 23, verses 2 and 3. And they began to accuse him, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Yes, thou sayest it. Paul was knowledgeable of these experiences in the trial of Christ, because he was in the loop as far as the high priest is concerned. So when he found out that Jesus was the King, the Christ, it was no problem for him to preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the King of the Jews. In Galatians 1:13 and 14, Paul says, For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jewish religion, or the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Paul was well learned and taught in the tradition of his fathers. In other words, he knew Old Testament scriptures well. He excelled above many of his equals. He knew the Old Testament well. In fact, in Acts 22 and verses 3 and 4, it says, I am very, verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death. What way? It had to do with the kingdom way. And he persecuted, and he was persecuted, persecuting that way. So, Paul was well, he was knowledgeable of the Old Testament, being instructed by a very well-known Bible teacher, Gamaliel. So, the revelation that God gave to Paul was that he unveiled the scriptures that he already knew. And that's what it amounts to. It's very difficult to go to somebody and with veiled information if they have no background for it. That's the reason why we find Paul always going to a synagogue to teach his message or to teach his to preach Paul's gospel. Then, picking up back in Galatians 1 and verse 11, it says, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. In other words, man couldn't teach it to Paul because they didn't know it like Paul, like the Lord revealed it to him. In fact, Paul saw the message of the kingdom, message of the glory, but he didn't realize that it was that he was going to a specific people, which was to Gentiles. So in Romans chapter 16, we see Paul's gospel that he preached was a mystery. Now to him that is of power to... This is in Romans 16, verse 25 and 6. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel... And notice that it's Paul's gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began... But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. Paul knew the scriptures of the prophets. And so it was easy for the Lord to reveal unto him the secret. And that secret was not that Gentiles could be saved, because Gentiles have always been able to be saved. Paul met some Gentiles, Abraham met Gentiles that were saved in his day. When we think about Jonah going and preaching at Nineveh, a whole city of Gentiles saved. Rahab the harlot, Ruth, others Gentiles have always been able to be saved. But this secret here, which was revealed by Paul, or to Paul, was that Gentiles, saved Gentiles, could now qualify to rule and reign in the heavenlies. Prior to Paul's, to this revelation to Paul, as far as Peter was concerned, he was not to even set foot in the house of a Gentile. He wanted to eat with them because they were excluded. Gentiles were excluded. Samaritans were excluded with the message of the kingdom of the heavens. And so, but Paul, the Lord told Paul that this message is now open to the Gentiles. It was now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all Gentiles for the obedience of faith. Notice that the Paul's gospel, Paul's message, had to do with obedience, obeying, being just. And it had to do with faith, pleasing God, knowing that the just are those, are the only ones that can walk by faith. Those that are obedient are the only ones who can please God by faith. If you're living in sin, you can't please God by living by faith. Because if you're living in sin, I assure you, you're not walking by faith. Now, we see in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, that it was by revelation that God made known unto Paul the mystery. When it reads, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Notice, again, the word mystery in Ephesians corresponds to the mystery of Romans chapter 16, 25. It was a mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Notice it was revealed when? Now. Not to the apostles in the old, not to the apostles before Paul's salvation, but it was revealed to Paul. What was that was revealed? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Where? In the heavenlies. There was no mystery about Gentiles being fellow heirs in the land, because there was ample commandments by Moses and other prophets that Gentiles would have an inheritance among the tribe in which they dwelt. So that was not a mystery. That was not something that needed to be revealed. That was a fact. But to be fellow heirs in the heavenlies was a new revelation. And it says, "And of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." So Paul's gospel is dealing with the good news that Gentiles could rule and reign from the heavens with the Lord. We see that in we pick up on that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 beginning, where Paul says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Notice who he's talking to. He's talking to brethren. Notice that they are beloved. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. This salvation is defined actually in verse 14. That salvation is the so great salvation and not the common salvation. The common salvation was provided by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't have to attain it. I don't have to buy it. I don't have to purchase it. I don't have to obtain it. All I have to do is believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This salvation is not that salvation, because in verse 14 it tells us that it's obtained, it's purchased. We'll read on a little bit. "Now this salvation, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit." Sanctification of the Spirit has to do with the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of adoption. the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ when He cried, Abba, Father. When we are able to cry, not my will but thine be done, we have sanctified that spirit of sonship. And belief of the truth. When the truth is open to us, we need to believe it and respond to it in obedience. In 1 Thessalonians chapter, well, let me just read verse 14 and then we'll look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. He continues in verse 14, whereunto He called you. That salvation is whereunto He has called them. In other words, the whereunto is a reference or is a referring back to the salvation of verse 13. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining or the purchasing or the buying or the acquiring of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This glory is positional glory and honor and not just simply something shiny or bright. And I included 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 to show you that God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This salvation here is a deliverance from the wrath of God, and not salvation that you receive when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a distinction there, and I wanted to make that distinction. So, it's by Paul's gospel that Gentile believers who have sanctified themselves in the spirit of sonship or adoption or the spirit of crying Abba, Father, and belief of the truth are the ones that are going to be seeking to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that glory has to do with sitting with Him in His throne. We see that in Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. That's the positional glory that Paul's gospel deals with. Obtaining that. It takes effort. It costs us to get it. It costs us persecution. It's through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. And that costs you. When you're are suffering trouble, it's costing you discomfort and so forth. So the Lord said to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Positional honor and glory. And I want to close with verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians 2, where Paul says, therefore, brethren, stand fast. And behold the tradition or the teaching which ye have been taught, whether by word of mouth or our epistle. In other words, not only are we to have the information, but it's to cause us to be steady. Don't be changing. Hold fast what you've learned, what you have seen, and it'll allow you to affect and change your life. Whether it's through the word, teaching word, or the reading of the epistle. And Lord willing, we will pick up in a little more detail next Sunday Paul's gospel. Because one of the things that we are going to see is that that's what's going to be used at the judgment seat of Christ. It's Paul's gospel that's going to judge the thoughts and the intents of man's heart. Father, I just pray that you would just bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. I just pray, Father, you'd help us to apply Paul's gospel in our life, to be appreciative of the fact that you've opened the door for us to enjoy honor and glory in your coming kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened unto us the scriptures, that we might enjoy the blessings of the coming age. We pray, Lord, you'd help us to sanctify our spirit of submission to Thee and cry, Abba, Father. Help us, Father, to believe the truth that it might change our life. We again ask you, Father, to bless these thoughts to each of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.